today is Masechta Nidadaf Tess. Tess on the so we'll do something from Daf Tess on the days. So let me begin with a question. Here's the shot. I saw this entire piece on the Chashuki Chemed by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. Very interesting question. A person comes to the Rav and he says that they're making this Shabbos Shel Bracha. They're making the Shabbos an Ofrof. Whatever the case, it doesn't make a difference. It's an Ofrof, Shel Brachas, and invited a lot of, many guests. Hundreds of people are coming. And the caterer made a mistake. Something went wrong. And there's a very difficult kashrus problem. Some of the meat got mixed with some milk, or some non-kosher meat was by mistake purchased and it got mixed with the kosher meat. And there's a serious halachic question. And if the halacha will be that the meat is treif, everything, the food is non-kosher, we literally have nothing to eat for Shabbos. Or the main course or a significant portion of the meal will be thrown in the garbage. And the guests will have nothing to eat for Shabbos. What should we do? So the Rav says, well, let me hear the question. Tell me the situation. Tell me all of the factors. So they tell the Rav the story. It's a very complicated halachic situation. And basically, in Shulchan Aruch, we don't need to know the details. The majority opinion holds the food is treif, in the garbage, and there's a minority opinion which is quoted either in the Machader or the Ramah or the Shach or the Taz that says it's kosher. There's a minority. It's a minority opinion. It's not the majority opinion. So the question is, can we be soymech here b'shas hatchak hefsid meruba, very great loss on the minority opinion? So the answer is yes. The answer is when b'shas hatchak, you are allowed to rely upon a minority opinion, and that is what the Rav tells them to do. On my plates, tzmuter, hefsed meruba, shas hatchak, gadol kavod habrios, and it's tzmuter. Go on and eat the meal, fine. Okay, no problem. Eat the meal, everything's wonderful. It's a wonderful Shabbos. Follow the halacha. There's no inyan being more machmir than the halacha. If in halacha it's tzmuter, you don't have to make yourself crazy, adraba. Fine, everything is okay. It's now Mitzvah Shabbos. There are leftovers. Leftovers. And they want to serve the leftovers for the family, for some other guests, either tomorrow or the next day. But it's no big deal. It's not a Shas Hatchak. If we would present the question now for the first time to the Rav and tell him the situation, he would say, listen, the majority opinion is treif. In the garbage. There's a minority opinion. Is it a shas hatchak? Is it hefsed meruba? No. We have over here 5-10 people. If you tell me it's treif, listen, the wedding costs $50,000. Another $20 to go to Kosher Delight. It's not gonna make a difference. It's no big deal. There's no hefsed meruba here for the leftovers. Are you allowed to be soymech on the heter of hefsed meruba and shas hatchak for the leftovers after the situation passes and it's no longer a shas hatchak? So this is the question. This is the question. The prima gadim paskins mutter. Once something becomes mutter because of the concept of hefsed meruba shas hatchak, it remains mutter forever lechatchila, even after the shas hatchak and the hefsed meruba period passes. That is Pesach Halacha. But Derech Agav, I just want to tell you something very interesting. Derech Agav, another question. Another interesting question. This is not really the point I want to make, but it's just very interesting and something to think about. This question I was presented to the Rav was, we have all the food prepared for the Suuda. We have 500 guests in a hotel for the Suuda, Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos Shudos. And they come and ask the question Friday morning. And normally Friday morning, Friday afternoon, you know, the immediate family is there, they would take some of the food and they would eat it for lunch, for breakfast, a little snack before all the guests arrive. For the immediate family, Erev Shabbos, it's not a Shas Atrak. They can go and they can go to the local takeout store and buy something to eat. So what the Prima Gadim paskins that once it becomes mutter on Shabbat, when is the Shas Atrak? When is the Hefsed Meruba? Shabbos. Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon. Once it becomes mutter, it's mutter forever, even when it comes to Mitzvah Shabbos. But do we say that since it's already going to become mutter, the Shabbat, we're going to enter into this window of Hefsed Meruba Friday night, and then it will become mutter, so we can be lenient even Friday morning? So that far, it appears you don't go. It's fascinating. That far is us. Friday morning, Friday afternoon, before you come into the window of Hefsed Meruba, even though you got a green light that it will be mutter, because then it's going to be Shas Hadchak Hefsed Meruba, and once it becomes mutter, it remains mutter forever, the Philippine Gadim, but until you get to that point in time, it is Asa. Friday morning, Friday afternoon, the meat is treif. It's a minority opinion. The majority opinion says it's kosher. It's too late, of course, obviously, to go and get together and eat new food. So until the point in time, it is us. Now, where do you have such an example? You have an example, let's say you have it's a tainus, it's a tzom, it's tainus Esther. If I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on the halacha exactly, let's say there's a bris. So the father and the moyel, again, don't quote me the details of the halacha, I don't remember, do not have to fast. What, I'm wrong? You have to fast what? Not the moral.
Only if the fast is not on the appropriate, the real
nitcha.
It's either nitcha or muktam.
Okay.
In the case of Tanis, muktam. In the case of Tishra, it's
Shibbat. On Tanis, if it's Boba Yom, you're not allowed? Is that the halacha?
I don't think they're allowed.
Okay, fine. Okay, I don't know the halacha. I know. Okay, so there are situations where it's a nitcha. It's not Boba Yom. There are leniencies where the Avi Aben does not have to fast because it's his simcha. The simcha bo bayom, everyone is fasting, but not the aviyah. Then that's the halacha. So the question is, that's good. So he's allowed to have the suda mitzvah. He circumcises his child, and then they have a suda, and he eats the suda. Okay, now he comes home. It's 9:30. He wants to take a cup of coffee, or it's 12 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock. He goes to work. It's 3 o'clock. He wants a cup of coffee. He wants to eat lunch. So do we say that since today already he broke his fast, he had a suda in the morning, he's allowed to have a suda in the afternoon as well? Or do we say no? It was only mutter for the suda, not for any time. No, same idea. Once a person's allowed to break his fast because the suda's mitzvah, now don't get carried away with this halacha, because by him it's a yom tif, it's a suda's mitzvah, he's allowed to break his fast for this reason, so it's mutter for him to eat for the remainder of the day without any restriction whatsoever. However, same principle applies. Well, let's say the bris is delayed. It's a tzom, it's a nitcha, it's not bo bayom. He will be allowed to eat in celebration of the simcha, but the mole says, we're not doing the bris until 2 o'clock in the afternoon because the baby is still yellow, whatever the situation is, so I can't make it, I'm busy, I'm out of town, and that's it, we're not having the bris until 2 o'clock, for whatever reason. Zerizim akdimim, not today. We just can't do it today at 7 o'clock in the morning. We're going to be doing it today at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So do we say that since later in this day, the Favi Aben is going to be allowed to eat, he's allowed to right away start eating prematurely early in the morning? No, you're not allowed to. You're only allowed, once it becomes mutter, once it's mutter mikadol haba. But it's not mutter until the moment comes. Because who says the moment will ever, what's the lum? This lum says both, in this case, by the case of the food, by bris milah, something along those lines is very soon. Because who says the bris milah will take place? You have plans, it's 2 o'clock. Who says, may by the time 2 o'clock rolls around, the child's not feeling well, the child shows signs that he's not well, the child has a fever, or it was some other complication. Let's say the mole doesn't show up, whatever the situation is, no one there knows how to do bris milah. So then you ate in the morning for nothing. The bris never took place. Say, so you're not allowed to do it until mamish becomes nogea halacha lemaisa. When it comes to food, even though it's true that the Rav has handed down the decision that you're allowed to eat this food Shabbos because it's a hefsed meruba, But if we could allow you to start eating the food Friday morning, Friday afternoon, who knows? You might start eating and eating until there's no food left. Or the food might get spoiled. And then anyway there won't be any food for Friday night and Shabbos morning. So if we're going to be generous and start allowing you to eat some of the food which we're going to decide is mutter because of Hesed Merubah prematurely, it may result that you'll never get to a situation where you'll need it b'shas Hesed Merubah, because maybe for some reason there'll be a fight and there won't be enough ruff, we'll call off the ruff or some strange circumstance. Yeah.
The problem I'm having with this is I can understand that time would be a factor in the decision, but then once the decision is made, how does time change the status of the food?
Once it's mutter, it's mutter.
You're talking about the leftovers.
It's a chiddush, you're right.
But that's the result. The result, the Prima Garden is very clear. Once it's mutter, because of the principle of Hesed Merubah, it's mutter forever, even though that window has passed.
Yeah, right.
The Chiddush now by extension, since the moment of Hesed Merubah will arrive in the evening, so now, when it's not Hesed Merubah, let me take advantage. No. Right now, that moment has not yet arrived.
You're saying that isn't a fact. Then it's not a factor. It's a contradiction.
It is. But there's a logic to it, because once you have in principle triggered the Hefsid Merubah, it's mutter. But until that moment in time, right now it's not yet Hefsid Merubah. Right now it's Erev Shabbos. The guests aren't here yet. It's too late for us to go buy new food for them. It's impossible. All stores are closed. But right now, I'm hungry. I don't want to eat something. Under normal circumstances, I would go into the refrigerator and take a piece of food and eat. That's what I would normally do. Right now, is that called for me Hefsed Merubah? No, because I can go around the corner to the grocery and buy a small amount of food for myself. It's not Hefsed Merubah. But tonight, in only 3 hours, all the food in the refrigerator is going to be mutter. Me did Hefsed Merubah. That's right. When Shabbos will arrive, we'll become mutter, but right now it's not yet mutter. Right now it is not, that event has not occurred. Okay, something to think about. It's a side point I want to make. Now, why am I bringing all this up? Because this fascinating idea, is a sefer called Shalos Shuvos Tuv Tam V'Das. I'm not familiar. It seems like it's a very popular, very well-known sefer. The Shalos Shuvos Tuv Tam V'Das, he quotes this from Gadim. And he says, it's a Feresh of Gemara, this whole give and take is a Feresh of Gemara, Masech, the Nida, and Daf Tes on the base. Now let me read you the Gemara, it's a short Gemara, and it's very fascinating, because we read the whole thing into the Gemara. Beautiful insight. The Gemara here speaks about a Zikena. Tanya Rabbanan. Zikena, a woman, an elderly woman, She'avru lecha shalosh anos, 3 periods have passed. A woman only has a period, whatever, every 28 days, 29 days, 30 days, every woman is different. So let's just say, for argument's sake, every 30 days. And she's at a point in time in her life where she no longer sees blood. And she's going through that transition of state. So she didn't see blood. She did not have, there was no re'iyash, arodaha shalosh anosh. And so she is now the cheskas. She now has established herself a new chazak that she will no longer have a period. She will no longer be a nida. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, bra'asa, she has zam. She makes a bedika, no heregish, there's no sensation. She makes a bedika, and there's zam. She's a nida. What?
She doesn't make a
whatever. She discovers blood. So now, what is the question? So this is the whole masechta revolves around. So when a woman did not have a sensation and discovers that there is blood, and in the past, it's not again like Maisa, I mean, so much in our times, where in ancient times, where a woman is neither, she's tamea, and everything that she touches is tamea, and they were nizik to keep the home clean al taras hakodesh. So she discovers that she's a nida. When did she become a nida? Did this happen at this very moment? Well, maybe I already was in Nida 24 hours ago. Or maybe I was in Nida from the last time I inspected myself, which could have been a week ago. And that means everything that I touched from the last time I made an inspection until today is Tameah. And all of those utensils have to be put in the mikvah, and all the food has to be treated as Tameah, it's true, it has to be burnt. Do we go back? So let's do with the Chacham Halachah L'Maaseh. Pasnai Amarut Halachah L'Maaseh. Generally, Pasnai the Chachamim that we make a compromise. So we go back 24 hours. We don't require a woman to be machmir and mitame everything backwards until the previous, the last inspection, which can be even a week ago. Instead, we go back 24 hours. Beis Shammai was extremely lenient. He says, no. You don't want to go back even 1 minute. Daya Shaita. She discovers blood now, so we have arrived. It's a lundus. It's a beautiful lundus. I always think Nida is the perfect mesachta to learn in Yeshiva. The lundus is tailor made. Dal chazak is sayeshaita meis leis. You can't imagine how perfect it is. So why don't they learn Nida in Yeshiva? Taboo. You can't go alone with a 13-year-old boy. You can't go to tell him about Nida. Just a woman makes a batika. It's just impossible. But if not for the fact, what?
Stick to Baba Mitzvah.
Exactly. So if not for the fact that the topic is off limits, I'm sure there's no sech that's more ideal. It's my impression to learn the longness of Chazokis and Yisodos or Kol HaTorah Kulo like there is in sech that age. But you know, taboo. So you have to wait until you learn Daf Yomi, get older, learn Daf Yomi to touch upon these nuts. So Beshamay says, Daya Shaita, what was halacha chazaka? She didn't have a heritage. Right now she discovers there's blood, so Mikanu Haba, she's Tmeya. We only have to be Mitame anything backwards, even for a split second, even though 2 minutes ago she touched something, and now she discovers that there's Dam, we could assume that blood came at this very moment. Okay, fine. So here, the Rabbanon are going to say, even though generally a young woman who has a period, every 30 days, normally I would machle, you have to go back. We're not so generous like the Shammai, the Ishaita, but we're not so machle to go back to the previous examination. It's enough to go back 24 hours. Here, we concede, being that she's a Zakeh, she has a Chazaka, she has established a Chazaka that she does not see blood. Zikena sha'avu lecha shalashanosh v'rasa daya shaita. The old avu lecha shalashanosh v'rasa daya shaita. Another three, let's say the site continues another 3 months daya shaita. That's not the point of the Nina. The old avu lecha shalashanosh v'rasa hare. But once she had now the new chazaka, if she established the new chazaka of seeing every 90 days, so there are some women then that have a cycle of 28 days. Some have 29 days, some have 30 days, and some have a cycle of 90 days. Whatever it is, all different types of people. So now she has a new chazaka of 90 days. Then she goes back 24 hours, or she goes back to the examination, depending on each opinion. That's not the issue we need over here. We said that. I don't need that part of the Gemara for our discussion. Now we want to go jump down a little bit further, and the Gemara tells us about a story. Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, let me just read a few more lines. I didn't really sound the right location. The time. Here we go. Here's the part we need. Here's the story. Rabbi Eliezer, who is the author of this halacha, he is the one that says Daya Shaita. He's the one that I quoted above. Zikena Shavodeh Hashalashanos. He says Daya Shaita. Maisa Beriva Achas. There was a Maisa with a young girl. What?
Young girl.
Right. Okay. Here's a young girl. Beriva means a young girl. Behes Soloi. Hey, Salu, I'm not sure the Nikud is the name of a place. Lived in a certain place. Shevsiko Shalosh Anosh Vloy. The Gemara that I told you about was a Zakena, was an elderly woman. Here, Rabbi Eliezer is even more lenient. Rabbi Eliezer says the same rule applies to a young woman. It's not necessarily to a Zakena, the same rule applies even to a young woman. a young woman is expected to see blood every 30 days, he said the same rule applies. Zanaisa b'rivachas behez summoning of a place called Hesel Shevsiko Shalosh Shanos. She did not see Dam for 3 months. And then suddenly she discovered that it was blood. The question was, how far back do we go? Not Rabbi Eliezer, the Chachamim, the Amru, when they paskind, Daya Shaitan. Don't go backwards. Mikano Mahabu. Don't go backwards. She saw blood today from here on in. Whatever she touched yesterday is okay. It's not today, it's Tahir. So we see over here that the Rabbanon concede to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, because from the Mishnah it's Mashmah, the Rabbanon disagree. The Rabbanon hold that a young woman who does not see blood for 90 days and then sees blood, being that she's young and she's expected to see, it doesn't make a difference. If she sees blood, we do go back 24 hours. Look, there was a story where the Rabbanon, the rabbinic authorities in this city, they decide that the woman does not go backwards, like Rabbi Eliezer. We see that the halacha follows the minority of Rabbi Eliezer, not the chachamim. Amrullah, they said, no. The halacha follows the majority of Rabbi. And a young woman that does not see blood for 90 days and then sees blood does go back 24 hours. And the reason why this case was different was because Ein Shas Hadchak Ra'ayah. It was unusual circumstances. That's all the Gemara says. What were the unusual circumstances? Two different stories, two different opinions. My Shas Hadchak. Some say Shnei Batzores Havu. It was a year of famine, and there was very little food to go around to begin with. And if they would pass that now, going back 24 hours, we're going to contaminate all of the food, we would wipe out the food supply. Everything would be tame. All the kohanim, all the truma would be tame. It would exasperate the problem. It was a famine. Therefore, they decided, B'shas Atchak, we're not going to go backwards, only it should be today, Mikan Lada, all the food from yesterday remains to Tahor. That's one answer. Some say, Tahoros Apish La'avida, this particular woman touched a lot. She worked in a factory. She touched a ton of food in the last 24 hours. And if they're going to contaminate all that food, we're dealing over here with a shift, you know, in Shabbos, someone told me, I heard they make more matzah in one day. They do two shifts a day. They make more matzah in one shift than Shatzah does a whole season. So she was working in that shift. So we're dealing over here with enough food to contaminate enough food for who knows. And therefore, v'choshul la'abarim lehevsid the taharos. Okay. Then the Gemara goes further. Tanabana Maisa is a Maisa, but also Rebbe to Rebbe Eliezer. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, she wants to start like the minority opinion to be lenient. The Achash in this guy, then he realized, what did I do? Chaval. I made a terrible mistake. I passed like the minority opinion. I followed the majority opinion, like the Rabbanon, that you have to go backwards. Omar, he said, no, it's not so bad. Kedai hu Rebbe Eliezer lismoch Allah b'shas hatchak. We can be leaning to follow Rabbi Eliezer b'shas hatcha. Ma'al yachash niskar. What does it mean yachash niskar? It means ilen yachash niskar din alach Rabbi Eliezer eluk rabbanon. So b'shas hatcha keichi avin chavase. How then did he follow him b'chadchi? Look, the Gemara goes on to say that kedaihu, the Gemara concludes, kedaihu Rabbi Eliezer lismach, it was a shas hatcha. Kedai hu Rabbi Eliezer lismech lo b'shas hatchak. The situation was shas hatchak, and the shas hatchak we can rely upon Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, I just took out bits and pieces of the Gemara for what we need. What's going on here in the Gemara? So the Sefer Tuftan Vadas, Shas Shulis Tuftan Vadas, he says, why does the Gemara give two nafkaminas? So he says, the two nafkaminas, what is the difference between the nafkamina of b'shas, it was a year of famine, and the nafkamina of she touched a lot of taharos, and he says the nafkamina is the prima godly. What is the halacha when the window of shas hadchak goes away? Does the food revert back to its prohibited status? The first answer was it was a year of famine. In a year of famine, by the time the famine is over, all the food is gone. So it will never revert back to a situation where the shas hadchak will go away. Therefore, what do we read between the lines? According to the first hints of the Gemara, in a situation where it's shas hadchak and the shas hadchak goes away, it becomes asur. In other words, this woman discovers blood. It's a shas hadchak. Okay, we're not going to go backwards 24 hours. All the food is tar. Because we're dealing over here with $1 million worth of produce. Okay. The company sells out $999,000 worth of their inventory. And all they have left on the shelf is $1,000 worth of inventory. And they brand it as Tohar. And a week goes by and it's left over on the shelf. Oh, there's a customer who wants to buy the leftovers for $1,000. Is it now shas hadchak? No more. The shas, they already sold out 99% of their inventory. It's no longer shas hadchak, and they have a label tahar. So according to the Gemara's first answer, you got to take off the label tahar. It's tmeah, because the window of shas hadchak is over. The Gemara's example of shas hadchak was shas batzoyres, a year of famine. The year of famine doesn't go away for a year. It takes a very long time. By the time the famine is over, all the food of that season is gone, long gone. The window of shas hadchak will never go away. Why did Gemara give the example of year of famine? To teach us. Only in this type of shas hadchak that will never go away are we going to be lenient. But if we have a shas hadchak where the shas hadchak will go away, we're only going to be lenient and say daya shaita during the time of shas hadchak. When the shas hadchak passes, so now we have to rewrite the halacha. The mashkiach comes in and says, "Mikanul hapa, everything is treif." We go backwards 24 hours. It's tineya, and therefore we have to change the status of being tineya. The second answer of the Gemara. The second answer was this woman. She touched a lot. She was working in the factory, and she touched a lot. Why? What's that answer is telling us, according to the Tuftan Das? When are we going to be generous and say, when are we going to be generous and say that daya shaita, we're not going to go back 24 hours? Only b'shas that it's a lot. But once we already get to a point where the inventory is sold out and it's no longer a lot, it's now miut, it's a small amount that's left over that's not been sold, no longer is it shas hadchak. No longer are we going to be so generous and say, I'm sorry, the other way around. Even in this case where it's a lot, and it's going to come a point in time where it's no longer going to be a lot, it's only going to be a small amount. And now you would be tempted to say that the shas hadchak is over, and we should revert back to the prohibition and go back to the rest. No! Even in this situation, once they gave the psak halacha that it's mutter, because it's a shas hadchak, it's mutter forever, even when the shas hadchak goes away. That's the nafkin meaning between the two lashonos. Along comes Rebbe, and Rebbe says, I pass him like a Eliezer. When, in the case of shas hadchak, what does that mean? It doesn't make any sense, the Gemara. Even the Rabbanon agree to Rebbe Eliezer b'shas hadchak. Isn't that what we just did? The Gemara, we just presented a piece of the Gemara according to the Rabbanon. The Gemara is according to the Rabbanon, we're going to be lenient. How can you be lenient? The Rabbanon amachmir. The Rabbanon can see b'shas hadchak like Rebbe Eliezer. Along comes Rebbe. Rebbe says, I follow the Shita. I paskin once, like I once upon a time paskin like the Chachamim, like Rebbe Eliezer. And it was a mistake. But no, Kedai who it was a shas hadchak. It was a mistake. But no, Kedai who Rebbe Eliezer listened to the shas hadchak. What do you mean it was a mistake? It was no mistake. If it was a shas hadchak, we just finished learning that even the Rabbanon agree like Rebbe Eliezer. What was he upset, Rebbe? The answer is no. Rebbe is telling us, I paskin like the Rabbanon of version number one. Version number one is the only time I'm going to be lenient is only during the window of shas hadchak. Once the shas hadchak goes away, I'm going to be machmir. And therefore, that's what Rebbe said. Here I have a situation where it was a shas hadchak for the time. there was a small window, and I made a mistake. I made a terrible mistake. I told them that it's mutter, you know, and it's mutter. Not only is it mutter now during the window of Shas Adchach, I told them once it's mutter forever, even when the window of Shas Adchach departs. That's a mistake. Because I didn't want to go so far. I only wanted, it's true, the Rabban hold that Shas Adchach it's mutter. But I wanted to pass like the Rabbanon of version 1, which only permits it during the window of Shas Adchach, not when the window of Shas Adchach passes. I made the terrible mistake and I told him that it's mutter Shas Adchach even after the window of Shas Adchach passes. I made a mistake. But it's not such a terrible mistake because Kedai Hu Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's mutter even when it's not a Shas Adchach. He holds that it's mutter Lagamri. So since here we have the additional factor that it is a Shas Adchach, so it's a Shas Adchach. And the only question is, does it remain perpetually permitted after the window passes? So in this situation, we can be lenient like Rabbi Eliezer, Kedai Hu Rabbi Eliezer, listen to Chalo B'Shas Adchach and permit the object like the Prima Godin, even after the window of Shas Adchach passes. So this is how he learns the whole thing into it. So to summarize very quickly, the kids in the room, what's the summary of this Gemara? We have your beautiful Shiloh, Prima Godin, Shas Adchach. It's mutter. That's the halacha. Don't have to be more machmor when it says a shulchan aruch. There's a principle. There's a majority opinion. Now the period is over. Is it remain mutter? Does it remain mutter, or does it revert back to its original prohibited status? Two different ways of looking at it. Prima godin is matir. Before the time is triggered, we discuss that it's us. This whole discussion can be read into the Gemara. We have a situation of a woman. Daya Shaita. That's a very great leniency. Because really, we should be Machin and we should go back 24 hours. We're going to be lenient. We're going to go over here, Daya Shaita. The Gemara says it was a Maya Shaita, they were lenient. Daya Shaita. How could we be lenient? Shas Adchach. The Gemara gives two different examples of Shas Adchach. Shnei Betzores, she touched a lot. What's between, what's the Nafkamina? What's done to, if you read between the lines, Nafkamina is, what's going to happen when the Shas Adchach comes to an end? According to the first opinion, it's going to be awesome because the whole Shas Adchach is a hechatimsa where there is no end. This is the way it's going to be forever. That's why it's mutter. Implication is that if the Shas Adchach would come to an end, then it would revert back to its original prohibited status. The second answer to the Gemara is no. Right now, it's Shas Adchach, even though this Shas Adchach is going to go away, it's mutter forever. It's mamash in the Gemara itself. These two different approaches. And then we have this part of the halacha of Rebbe. Rebbe, I made a mistake. I passed like the Rabbanan. B'Shas Adchach. That's not a mistake. That's the halacha. The Rabbanan agreed to that's B'Shas Adchach. No, I wanted to pass like the Rabbanan only in version 1. Only Shas Adchach version, the window of Shas Adchach. But when the window closes to revert back to original prohibited status. That's what I wanted to do. I made a mistake. I told them that it's smutter mikanu haba. Not so bad, since anyway it's Shas Adchach, and in any way this Rebbe Eliezer that's Bechal Mekel to begin with, from beginning to end, every situation, when it's not a Shas Adchach, here we can take Rebbe Eliezer, we can say, Shas Adchach, El Mutter Afilu after Kedai, you listen to Rebbe Eliezer, Shas Adchach, that will remain Mutter even after the window of our journey closed. Halacha Lemaisa, we pass like the Prima Godim, not like what Rebbe said, we pass like the Prima Godim. When Mekel wants it's mutter forever, but the permitted status does not begin until we actually trigger the moment of Shas Adchach Es Merubah. Okay? Yeah.
Reminds me of the food that had a Tohar label. He sold 99.9%,
yeah.
And he has to now take off the label of Tohar.
Right.
How does that concept affect eating the leftovers Saturday night?
It's exactly the same idea.
So why?
It's totally zebizeh. If you can tell me the leftovers are mutter, because once it was mutter on Shabbos, so it's mutter forever. So the leftovers inside Shabbos are also mutter. Then you don't have to take the label and change the label. You don't. Once it's passed and it's tahar, it remains tahar forever.
The label off of the food. You know the case where it was 99,000.
You don't. No, that's the question. Do you have to take the label off? No. That's the question. Do you or do you not? If you hold once it's mutter, it remains mutter. You don't have to take off the label.
I thought that you had.
No. That's totally zebzeh. And halacha lemaisa, you have to be one. You don't. Once it's mutter forever. Even though the reason of hefsa ruba is no longer applicable. Okay. Have a nice day.